Okay, we discussed the fact that an erva pata is a yava, that an erva is pata from yibum. We discussed the fact that kol she'eino l'yibum eino l'chalitza. Those are the two first topics of this mishnah. Today, we get into the third topic, the topic of tzara, something which is far more complicated. And it's important that you be fluent in the language of a tzara, what a tzara is. Tzara, what it is. If every time I tell you tzara, you have to start thinking, oh, that means he married her and they married him. And then by the time you finish thinking, it's going to be tomorrow already. It's not going to go anywhere. If you talk to a friend and he tells you he visited his cousin, you have to start thinking, your cousin, that means your father's brother's child. It's not going to be much of a conversation. You all know a cousin's a cousin. You don't have to start thinking. If you want to have any type of hatzlach in Yevamis, you have to become fluent in what a tzara is and what a tzara is. If every time you have to think a tzara means this person married that person, you have to go through it again every time in your mind, it's going to be very hard to discuss any lumdis because you're busy thinking about the taich of the word. So you have to be fluent in it, you have to talk to your chavrusa, you have to discuss it in a way that makes it go easily. I remember when I learned Yevamis about 25 years ago, Rebbe Yashiv then was, maybe it was a little before then, but was on the, Rebbe Yashiv was worked, I'd be allowed to say it, but he had a job for the Rabbanut. He was in the Bezna for Gittin. It was a Maisa that took place that helped everyone understand what a Tzara is. This goes back in the time that Russia still had an Iron Curtain. There was a Russian couple that got out of Russia, and they had no children of their own, but he had a brother that had worked for the army. Anybody worked for the army, the Russians wouldn't let out. His brother had a daughter, and the brother gave the brother that was going to Eretz Yisrael, gave his daughter to go. So the couple went with their niece to Eretz Yisrael, and the other brother was left behind in the Iron Curtain. It happened that this couple that came to Eretz Yisrael got into a terrible car accident. And on Shabbos, the man, the doctor, the prognosis was that the man wouldn't make it. That he wouldn't make it. And the woman, who was also quite ill, that she would recover. And there was a problem because they anticipated that this woman would become an aguna, because the husband would die. And the woman would need chalitza from her brother who was still in Russia. And she would be an aguna. So they started talking about whether there was any way for him to give his wife a get under those conditions. I don't remember the nidin was because she was in a koma, or the nidin was because it was Shabbos. I don't remember the nidin, but there was a nidin about trying to somehow be misander a get for them, and there was Bemisi Efsher. She was in a coma, it was a shock to give her a get. So Rebbe Yashiv, they came to it, the question, said that this man should be Mekadish his niece. He should just go to give his niece a Shava Pruta and say, Hariyat Mekadesh Likadas Moshe Yisrael. And what do you gain by that? If you wouldn't be learning Yevamis, you wonder what he would gain. It's very simple. He'd be Mekadish his niece. And then when he dies, his niece and his wife are going to fall to the brother to Yivam. So that the brother would have Bitai, his daughter falling to him to Yivam, and the Bas is Tzara. And the Tzara is Habas, which is the wife. And then there's no chiv, no yibum, no chalitza, and she's off the hook. So most of us wouldn't think of it because we don't think of this mishnah have anything to do with halacha l'maisa. But it's just sort of an illustration of a lamaisa dika case of a tzara. So it's interesting. Rabbi Yosha said there's no chayim rabbeinu gershin on kiddushin, only on the suin. There's only chayim rabbeinu gershin shaloi lisa shtei nashim. But he said kiddushin, there's no chayim rabbeinu gershin, so he doesn't give kiddushin without the suin, and then it would be okay. What? Yeah, but you can tell someone to ever in a chayim, but here. Okay, at any rate, this is the topic that we're going to start to get into today. Tzara and Tzara Tzara. Now, you have to realize, again, before we start, that the case of a Tzara is a normal case of Yibum. A man dies, and his two wives fall to Yibum, and one is an Erva, and one is a Tzara of an Erva. That's the case of a Tzara. The case of Tzara Tzara is always a case of a second marriage. In the language of the Rishayim, it's a case of Nefila Shnia. Now that expression, Nefila Shnia, again, you have to be fluent in it. It's part of the language, just like when you learn the Nezikin, the word Migu is not something you have to think about. You know what a Migu is, you know what a Chazak is. When you learn Yevamis, you have to know the term Nefila Shnia. Nefila Shnia means that there's a second brother who dies without children. Nefila Shnia, you fall to Yibam a second time. Ketzad. You have the case of the Mishnah. A Bas, or any Erva, plus a Tzara, the man dies. And now, this Bas and this Tzara, let's say the man who died was Reuven, he has a brother Shimon. So Shimon has no mitzvah of Yibam and no mitzvah of Chalitza, because an Erva and a Tzara fell to him. That's a normal case. Nefila Shnia means that there was another brother, Levi. There was another brother. This other brother did Yibam. He's not related to, it's not his daughter. It's Shimon's daughter. Levi did Yibam. And in the Mishnah's case, he was Miyabim the Tzara. He had a choice. He could have married either one of them. When Reuven died with two wives, Shimon can't marry any of them. Levi went and married the Tzara. Plus, he had his own wife. So that's called the Tzara of a Tzara. And then Levi died. And there was a Nefila Shnia. Nefila Shnia meaning Shimon now, he sat Shiva for one brother. He lost his first brother, who was also his daughter's husband. And now he lost the other brother. Levi died. Levi died, and again, he's faced with the question of whether he could do Yibam. Now, it's not his daughter. It's the Tzara of his daughter that married Levi, plus the Tzara of that Tzara, falls to Yibam to Shimon. And that the Mishnah says, Tzara, Tzara, there's also no Yibam. Just like the first time Shimon was off the hook, no Yibam, no Chalitza, because it was his daughter and a Tzara. The same thing with the Nefila Shnia, with the second Nefila, he's off the hook because it's a Tzara, he can't marry a Tzara, and the Tzara of the Tzara is, that's the case, Tzara, Tzara, which is part. So that is called the Nefila Shnia, second Nefila. And that's the case of Tzara Tzara, of course, Atzai Failam. If there was a fourth brother, the fourth brother was Miyabim and had a Tzara, you could have Tzara Tzara Tzara. You could go on forever. Now that's the case of the Mishnah. That's the discussion I'm going to get into today. Now before we get into the complicated issues, there's one hakdama that we have to clarify and we have to try as best we can to understand. You all know that certain relatives are not allowed to marry. There are rayas, the Torah says there's karis, you said that's called an erva, all the relatives you're not allowed to marry, you take out the chumash, you go through the whole list, the list of this mishnah, the list of the next mishnah, you have a bunch of relatives that you're not allowed to marry, that's called an erva. one of the relatives you're not allowed to marry is your sister-in-law, your brother's wife. Under normal conditions, were it not to the parasha of Yibam, normal conditions, your brother has children, someone is not allowed to marry his sister-in-law, that's also an erva. Eishes achiv, that's also an erva. By Yibam, obviously, you're allowed to marry your brother's wife, because that's the whole parasha of Yibam. If you couldn't marry a brother's wife, then there would be no metzias of Yibam. Every case of Yibam is a man's sister-in-law. So obviously, the sister-in-law is not included in the Chamesh Asrinashim, Paitra Sarasayim, because the sister-in-law is an erva that you do marry at the time you do Yibam. Now that should be a davar pashut. A sister-in-law you're allowed to marry at the time you do Yibam. What's the explanation of that heter? How do we understand the kavanas ha-Torah in allowing you to marry a sister-in-law? You and I would say pashut. It's an erva, that's mutter, period. What lomdis? A sister-in-law is an erva, that's mutter in the case of Yibam. Yibam is not restricted by marrying a sister-in-law. And I couldn't argue with you. That's the way I would say it. That's the way you would say it. And I think it's the way most Rishayim learn up the parasha. That a sister-in-law is an exception to the parasha of Yibam. You don't have to be in Beis Medrash or a Masifta to know that. Any child who learns Chumash and learns the parasha of Yibam knows that a person marries a sister-in-law in the case of Yibam. Obviously, sister-in-law is an exception. Now this is the simple explanation. It's not. And I'll explain Rashi and Beis on Beis in a second. And I want to explain the Rashi. That's a simple explanation. We'll call that Shitas Tosfos, for lack of a clearer name. You'll see why as the year goes on. However, Rashi, throughout this Masechta, has a different explanation of the iser of a sister-in-law, the din of a sister-in-law. And if you'll have your antennas up, if you'll have it in mind, you'll notice that Rashi always talks in the following way. Rashi's shita is that there are two types of sister-in-law that the Torah asked. There's one sister-in-law that's Eishes Achiv Sheyesh Laibanim, the sister of a brother who has children, that's one relative. Eishes Achiv Sheyesh Laibanim, that's one type of relative, and that's an Erva. And then there's Eishes Achiv Sheyin Laibanim, which generally speaking is not an Erva, is Mutter. In other words, when you learn that the Torah says you're not allowed to marry a sister-in-law, Rashi holds that sister-in-law that the Torah asked is a sister-in-law sheyesh loibanim, that the brother had children. And that's an erva. A sister-in-law of through a brother who had no children is not an erva b'chlal. Not pshat, it's an erva, but b'makom yibum it's mutter. No. It's bechlau, not an erva. We learn it out from Aleha, from Seder Chalei, wherever we learn it from. But at the end of the day, an eishes ach, she'ein loibanim, is bechlau, not an erva. The brother's not alive. All relatives remain osur except for one, or even if the person, even if the connecting person dies. So erva, if a person has a sister-in-law and the brother had children and he died, that woman is an erva to him. That's ervas, that's eishes achiv shahaya leiban or sheyesh leiban. A eishes ach she'ein leibanim is bechlal not an erva. When he's alive, then it is. So I have to say, an eishes ach she'meis b'leibanim, rephrase it, is when he's alive. I guess it's both an eishes ish too, eishes ish and eishes ach. Okay,
but.
Okay, I'm talking about Eisha Sachar Me'aviv, which is a parasha of Yibam. All other relatives, Kamat, all other relatives, or even if the connecting person dies, you know, we spoke yesterday about a mother-in-law, even after the relative dies, is still Aser. The man's wife dies, the mother-in-law is still Aser. It's a question we had yesterday, this Karis. But relatives remain Aser even after the connecting relative dies. And that's true by Eisha Sachar Me'imai.
What?
Because Eishes Sachar Me'imai is like all other relatives. It's always us. There's no parasha of evil.
Yeah, but we just wrap them very 20 rashes. There's no issue at all in Eishes Sachar.
So when I say Eishes Sachar, I'm talking about Eishes Sachar Me'aviv. Eishes Sachar Me'aviv, Shein Leban. In other words, whenever there's a parasha of evil, that's the Gilui HaTorah. Now, what's a Nafka Mina? There are a number of pshat nekudis that come out smooth, like Rashi. Rashi is always better with pshat. It comes out much better. For example, I think you all know that even though an asay is daicha alaisa asay, if it's efshur l'kayim shneyem, you have to be mekayim both. You have a case of an assay pushing away a lais assay, but you have an option. You have a way of being mekayim both. So you all know you have to be mekayim both. Right? Assay is only dach lais when you have no choice. Yet, the Gemara later is going to have a havamina that the assay of Yibum is Daicha, the Lois Asay of Eishes Achiv, of a sister law. That's Nitcha, because the Asay is Daicha the Lav, Sheesh Bekaris. Because the Asay is Daicha such a Lav. So I'll ask you a question. You could do Chalitza, you have an Eitza. Why should I do Yibum? I have an Eitza to do Chalitza. Light Rashi is no Kasha. Because like Rashi, Eishes Achiv, Shemeis, Beloibanim, is Bechlal not an Isser. It's not that the Asay is Daicha this Lais Asay. It's Bechlal not an Isser. Like Rashi, there's no Havamina. You have to come on to Asay Daicha Lais Asay Sheish Bekaris. Because it's Bechlal not. Let's see the Gemara. But Rashi's not going to learn that there's such a Havamina, that it's Asay Daicha Lais Asay. Because like Rashi, Bechlal, there's no Isser. Or, on Thursday, many of you asked, by every Yibum, you said the mitzvah of Yibum is the first Bia. Why is the Bia Shniya Mutter? Every case of Yibum, a man marries his sister-in-law. So the first Bia is the mitzvah of Yibum. Why is the Bia Shniya Mutter? He already did the mitzvah. And if he gives her a get, they will mekayim the mitzvah. Why is the Bia Shniya Mutter? Why is the second Bia to this person Mutter? Like Rashi, it's Pashit. Because there's no Isser. A sister-in-law of a brother that died B'lai Banim, there is no Isser. There's no such Erev in the Torah. Even after you became the mitzvah, this is not an Erev in the Torah Asid. The Torah asked in Eishes Ach she meis bibanim sheesh leibanim, not shein leibanim. And therefore the Biashniyah, the Biashlishis, there's no Issa Bechlal, there's no such erva like Rashi. Now, we're... What? So I'll show it to you in a second. I'll show you. I want to point out that Rashi. Now there are two Gemaras that are mashma like this Rashi. One is a five-word Gemara on Nundalat Amid Beis. Gemara in Tap of Nundalad Amid Beis has an expression. The very top line. Eishes ach bibonim tal yerachmanu. Eishes ach, the erva of Eishes ach, bibonim tal yerachmanu. Rashi, im yesh leibonim, afilu meisachiv yerasu. Eishes, the iser of Eishes ach, bibonim tal yerachmanu, is only when they are children. If there are no children, there's no iser Eishes ach. There's another Gemara on Lamed Amid Aleph. The Gemara there, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, in the middle of the page, Kol Yevama Shein Ani Kairav B'Shas Nefilo Yava Yom Yava Yaleha. Any Yevama that you can't marry. That means you have a case, you can't marry her. She's a relative, whatever case. Harehi ke'eshes ach she'yesh lo banim v'asura. Gemara says, any Yavama that you're not allowed to marry for any reason, could be for zaitika reasons. Any reason you can't marry her, harehi ke'eshes ach she'yesh lo banim. It's like an eshes ach she'yesh Labanim. It says law, not law, but Keshas Ash, Yesh Labanim means from her. So, Vasura. Why is she Asur? Because she's like a brother in law that has children. Why do you say she's like a brother in law that has children? It's a brother in law and a sister in law, and there's no mitzvah of evil. The Gemara has to use such an expression that she blives like an Eshas Ash, Yesh Labanim. Because Eshas Ash, Yesh Labanim is an Erevah.
But this is not an
Erevah. Nachinami. But that's why we have to have such a chiddush that Hare Hi Keshes Ach Yavama Yavaleh. That
according to this there's no reason for it.
According to this reason, this taka, you need the chiddush of the Gemara.
What is this?
What is the iser? I'll explain. Let me show it in a couple of more places. I'll explain. Those of you.
Yeah,
what? It's true, but the language of the Gemara is that the Isser Eishes Ach depends on Banim. Depends on Banim. In other words, the Taich of Eishes Ach is that way. I'm not saying the other Rishonim can't Taich the Gemara, but according to Rashi, it's very Gishman. Now, why do we say that this is Rashi's Mahalach? Because Rashi. First of all, Rashi holds that the Erva is Hutra. We're going to talk, if there's Hutra and Hutcha, the difference between them. Like Rashi, it's Hutra Lagamri. It's a total heter. There's no Isser. By Yibum, Eishes Ach is Hutra Lagamri. It's a total heter. It's not Hutcha. You know that we use an expression Hutcha, which we're going to talk about at a future time. Like Rashi, it's Hutra Lagamri. Tosis uses Lashonis of Hutcha, which is why Tosis seems not to hold that way. But Rashi holds that it's Hutra. I'd like you to sit with your chavrusa and learn the Tap Rashi on Beis Amid Beis. The second half of the Tap Rashi, Eishes Ach Shalayai by Lamai, Rashi uses this lashon. The last words of Rashi, Ameachar Shapotran Hakosiv, Oindim Alav Be Isser Eishes Ach Sheish Leibanim. The last words of Rashi are that the case of Eishes Achir Shalayaya by Lama, a case where there's no mitzvah of Yibam, blibes Be'isr Eishes Ach Sheyesh Leibanim. Why is Rashi talking that way? I'm des Be'isr Eishes Ach Sheyesh Leibanim. I'm des Be'isr Eishes Ach. Rashi uses the Lashon Be'isr Eishes Ach Sheyesh Leibanim. Later on Gimel Amid Aleph, there's a Rashi about 15 lines up, Kivan de Bambaka Mitzvah Yibam Oda Asira. The same thing. It says, Kaimala Be'isr Eishes Ach Sheyesh Leibanim. Rashi keeps on talking about this Isser called the Isser Eishes Ach Sheyesh Leibanim. Rashi learns that the Erva of Eishes Ach is Eishes Ach Sheyesh Leibanim. Period. That's the Isser. If you have a case of an Eishes Ach Sheyesh Leibanim, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Zakt Rashi, even though that brother had no children, it falls to the Isser of Isser Eishasach Sheyesh Leibad. Even though this brother had children, had no children. If there would be no mitzvah of Yibum, it would become Isser Eishasach Sheyesh Leibad. That's Rashi's expression. That's the Gemara's expression in the Flam. Which means, if I had my choice, I would use a different language. I have to use the language I use, because Rashi and the Gemara use it. I would have used the expression, Isser Eishes Ach She'ein Bay Mitzvah Sibum is Aser, and Isser Eishes Ach She'esh Bay Mitzvah Sibum is no Issa B'chlal. We're going to have to understand why the Gemara and Rashi don't use that expression. They use the expression, Isser Eishes Ach She'esh Leibanim, Isser Eishes She'ein Leibanim. Okay. But the Nakuda of Rashi Shita is this Nakuda. Rashi Shita throughout, it's going to have to shtim throughout the Masechta, is that in the case of Yibum, there's Bechlal no Isser of a sister-in-law. Not Pshat, the sister-in-law is Nitcha for the Mitzvah of Yibum. Tosis is going to use the Lashon that the Isser of a sister-in-law is Nitcha. Yibum is Daicha, the Isser of a sister-in-law. Hopefully, we're never going to find a Rashi that uses that language. That the Isser of his sister-in-law is Nidcha by Yibum. Like Rashi, it's not Nidcha for Yibum. There is no Isser. In the case of Yibum, the Chlal, there's no Isser. If you have such a Rashi, don't show it to me now. But hopefully, Rashi will not use such a language that it's a sister-in-law. Yibum is Daicha, the Isser of his sister-in-law. That'll be Taisis Lashon. It's not going to be Rashi's Lashon. You understand why? Because like Rashi, the Isser never started. There's no such Isser as a sister-in-law when there are no children of false to Yibum. So that, in Lamdisha terms, according to Rashi, the case of Yibum, the sister-in-law Isser is Hutra. It's Hutra, more than Hutra. There's no Isser in the first place. It's a heter gamur. According to Taisvis, it's hutcha. That it's something which is nitcha, which is pushed off. And the results are pretty much the same. We'll have to have nafkaminis between them. But that is the basic difference between Rashi Shita and Taisa Shita. Okay? So before we go further, we have this hakdama. Every child knows that Yibum takes place even if it's a sister-in-law. That's Chumash. The Lamdis, you can express it two ways. You can express it, and I will be minded to you, the normal way I would express it, Yibum is Daicha, the Isser of a sister-in-law. And that's the way we're going to find Bamos Rishayim. Rashi, as a Mechudish Tikka Mahalech, that not Pshat, it's Hutcha. Pshat is the Torah never assert a sister-in-law in a case where the brother had no children or false to Yibum. Okay, having understood that, we're going to move on to Rabbi Akiva Eiger. It's very good. Sharia is a Lashon of Hutra. Sharia, they by the rabbi, they bring the Lashon, the Lashonis of Rashi are always a Lashon of Sharia. Because Sharia means that it's Mutlach Atchila, as opposed to Hutcha, which means that it's Nidcha. And you'll see if it's consistently that way. Okay. Let's go to Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I'm going to go to Rabbi Akiva Eiger before I go to the Gemara that Rabbi Akiva Eiger is Nageya to. Because if we start with the Gemara, the Rabbi Akiva Eiger is going to be confusing. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger himself says it on the Mishnah here, in the Pirush HaMishnayos. And so we're allowed to start with Rabbi Akiva Eiger and then get to the Gemara in Daf Yud Gimel, which is broad in our Tosfos. Again, let's step back. We started the year by saying there are four chidushim in the Mishnah. We have to ask why to all four. Let's finish the four now. Okay? An erva has no yibum. Why? So we said there are three reasons. We spoke out three reasons. The tafkil mamid beis, gzeres hakasov. And the chesamid beis, ein asei doicha loisei sheish bekaris. And we had the Rambam who had a third reason. That we spoke about Thursday. The second chiddush of the Mishnah was, an erva has no chalitza. If I ask you why, the answer is, kol she'en o'il yibam, ein o'il chalitza. No yibam, there's no chalitza. It's easy. Now, tzara. Why is it that a tzara is pater? Why does a tzara not have yibam v'chalitza? So here it's gzeres hakasuv. And daf yud gimel, it brings the pasuk litzrar. The pasuk litzrar is the reason a tzara doesn't have yibum. I have to tell you that there's another Tana, Rebbe, and daf chesamid beis, who learns it out of a different pasuk, lekacha. He learns it out of a different pasuk on chesamid beis. V'lakach v'lakcha. He learns out of pasuk v'lakcha. So it's a different pasuk. You have a different time to learn to have a different pasuk. My nafkamina, we'll get the chesamid beis. But which I'm just trying to, you should know all the ideas so you know why. So tzara, why? Easy. Zeres hakasov. Zeres hakasov is for litzrar, according to most tanoim and amirayim. Rabbeinu HaKadosh holds that it's a pasuk of v'lakcha. Until we get chesamid beis, we're going to ignore Rebbe. We're going to talk about litzrar path is itself. The Gemara on Yud Gimel says, Tzara Tzara, how do you know? Menani Mili. How do you know Tzara Tzara? How do you know Tzara Tzara patters? Rabbi Kiva Eger comes along now to explain why a Tzara Tzara should be patter. And he asks, Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, I have a new teretz. Why tzara tzara shouldn't fall to yibum? Now again, what tzara tzara? I told you, tzara tzara is always nefila shniya. Tzara tzara means, you had the case of the Mishnah. A man, Reuven, was married to Shimon's daughter, plus a tzara, and Reuven died. Shimon was pater from yibum, pater from chalitza, the tzara, the whole business. There was another brother, Levi. Levi was Mekayim Yibum. He could have married either wife. He chose one. He married the Tzara. He didn't marry his niece. He married the Tzara. Levi married the Tzara, plus he has his own wife. He has two wives. Levi died. Now Shimon is faced with the question, does he have a mitzvah to be Miyabim, Levi's wives? Levi left two wives. One wife was also Reuven's wife. Tzara, Reuven's wife, that Shimon was Miyabim. And the other wife is Shimon's original wife. Shimon has two, Levi, who died second. Levi has the wife that was Reuven's wife and his own wife. Levi died. Shimon now is faced with the question of whether there's a mitzvah to be Miyabim, the Tzara and the Tzara's Tzara. Zot Rabbi Kiva Eger. Now listen carefully to the Rabbi Kiva Eger. This is Rabbi Kiva Eger's kasha, which is not just Zaitiga Rabbi Kiva Eger's kasha. It's a kasha that all, not all, but many of the Yesaitis of the Masechta revolve around, as you'll see. Zok Rabbi Kiva Eger. Shimon now is faced with the question, should he be the Abim, one of the two wives of Levi? Let's take it one wife at a time. Is Shimon allowed to be Miyabim the Tzara? The woman that was originally married to Reuven. Does he have an option of being Miyabim the Tzara? Then we'll talk to Miyabim the Tzara. Could he be Miyabim the Tzara? What's the answer? Could he be Miyabim her? No, why not? This Tzara is his sister-in-law from Reuben. This Tzara is his sister-in-law from Reuven. The sister-in-law from Reuven is Asa to him. Right? The sister-in-law to Reuven, that was a Tzara Sarva. He wasn't allowed to be Miyabimar. So this sister-in-law, who's was Reuven's wife originally, Shimon can't marry. He's related to her two ways. It's his brother Reuven's wife, his brother Shimon's wife. Shimon's wife, no problem. The mitzvah yibum, it takes precedence to the issur of a sister-in-law. But he can't marry her because it's also Reuven's wife. And by Reuven's wife, he had no mitzvah yibum. By Reuven's wife, he wasn't allowed to be miyabim her. Memela, he can't marry her because she's an erva to him. She is a sister-in-law via Reuven. So Zuch Rebbe Kiva Eger, Shimon Sicha can't marry the wife of Levi, who was the Tzara from the first time. It's Pasha. It's an erva to him. It's only an erva because circumstances were such that she was a Tzara. But at the end of the day, she was an erva to him, a sister-in-law. Shaloi b'makom mitzvah. Imkain. Now, Shimon can't marry the Tzara that was originally Reuven's wife. Okay? Can't marry her. Let her marry the wife of Levi that was not Reuven's wife. So, Rabbi Akiva Eger, 1 minute. This wife is the Tzara of an erva. Because that first Tzara is a sister-in-law. A sister-in-law is an Issacharis. If a sister-in-law is an Issacharis, just like Shimon can't marry the Tzara, the first Tzara, it's an Issacharis to him, it's a sister-in-law, Shalai B'makom Mitzvah. The Tzara of an Erva is already excluded from Litzron. And therefore the Tzara of the Tzara is a sister-in-law, Shalai B'makom Mitzvah, and should be Nitcha. There's no mitzvah of Yibum to a Tzara of an Erva. So Zot Rebbe Kiva Eger, the Tzara of the Tzara is also Pashit. Because the Tzara of the Tzara is a Tzara of an Erva. It says here the Tzara of an Erva. So Mimela, it's not... it's a Svara that you can't marry. In other words, Rabbi Kiva Eger is saying that there's only one Ptur Tzara you need in the whole Torah. You don't need Tzara Tzara. Only there's one din that a Tzara of an Erva is asa to marry, asa to do Yiva. Why? Because just like in the first Nefila, a man had his daughter fall to him plus a Tzara. So the Tzara of an Erva is asa. The same thing in the Nefila Shnia, who's falling to him? A sister-in-law, Shalai B'makom Mitzvah. I just explained to you that a sister-in-law, Shalai B'makom Mitzvah, is a regular erva of a sister-in-law. She's an erva. The tzara's tzara is the tzara of an erva. And even if there's a fourth brother, Yehuda, who's going to marry the tzara's tzara and have another wife and die, and this Shimon is going to be faced with marrying the Tzara of the Tzara Tzara, same thing. The first is from the previous brother, a sister-in-law Shalai B'makom Mitzvah, and this is the Tzara of a sister-in-law Shalai B'makom Mitzvah. Even if it goes on at Saif Ha'ilam, even if he has a zillion brothers, and they all marry these people and die, which would make it less likely that he'd want to do the same, but there would be no Shaychus of Yibum. Because every tzara of an erva becomes a sister-in-law, Shalai B'makom Mitzvah. This is Rabbi Kivayga's kasha. Now, what?
The kasha
is, why does the Gemara say tzara tzara min alan? Why does the Gemara say hatin of tzara? Tzara tzara min alan. What tzara tzara min alan? If I know tzara, then I know tzara tzara.
That's what it takes, especially in the market.
right. And second, Nachinami. Nachinami, that's why I don't want to say the Gemara first. Rabbi Kidega says there's a kasha, I can't get away from that. But you're right. Well, hold on a second. Now, if you want to speak out Rabbi Kivager's kasha, if you go with the Rashi, I explained the beginning of Shir, it expresses itself very clearly. Loi Rashi, Rabbi Kivager's kasha, is really very geschmack. I'm not saying it's for anybody else. Loi Rashi is very clear. A sister-in-law is usur when there's no mitzvah of yibum. It's an erva. When there is a mitzvah of yibum, then a sister-in-law is not usur. This tzara in the first marriage of Reuven was a sister-in-law shalai b'makom mitzvah. It's a sister-in-law shalai b'makom mitzvah yibum, and that's an erva of a sister-in-law. So she remains an erva forever and ever. She remains once an erva, always an erva. She remains an erva for always. So her husband dies, she remains an erva. You can't marry her later. She's a sister-in-law, shalai b'makom mitzvah. Just like if someone has a sister-in-law and the husband dies and they have children, that sister-in-law is asa forever. Because an erva remains asa. Someone has a mother-in-law, it's asa forever. If someone has just about every relative is asa, even if the connecting relative dies, it's one exception, but typically every erva remains. This tzara remains a sister-in-law, shalai b'makom mitzvah, and therefore the Rabbi Kiva Eger says you don't need a pasuk for tzara sara. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger's kasha, and he makes the kasha even starker by showing that Rashi himself on Daf Ches Amud Beis, when Rashi explains the shita of Rebbe, I told you Rebbe has a different pasuk for lakha to be memayit tzara. Rebbe doesn't have a pasuk for tzara sara. All Rebbe does, he says, v'lokha is memayit tzara. There's not any pasuk for tzara sara. Rashi on Ches Amud Beis says, Rebbe Kivega svara. He says this svara. The tzara sara is the same as the tzara. So Rashi says it meferish on Ches Amud Beis. So Rebbe Kivega asks, Rashi says it, so why isn't it good enough on Daf Yud Gimel? The Gemara said Tzara Sara Menalon. Why don't you say the same thing? This is Rabbi Kivega's kasha. Now, there's the easy way out, and there are a number of complicated ways out. Today, we'll talk about the easy way out. And then we have to figure out if there's an easy way out, why doesn't everybody say it? We always like the easy way out. So you have to look at your Gimel Amud Aleph. If you don't mind, turn to your Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, the fifth line of Gemara. I'm going to learn a small piece of Gemara. And to that, Ketzad Paitrei Sereseya. Now listen to the Gemara. Minani Mili. How do you know what? How do you know it's Sarah's potter? Amrav Yehuda. I'm sorry. Minani Mili. How do you know what? Look at Rashi. Minani Mili. See Rashi, the first narrow line? What does Rashi say? Minani Mili. The Tsaras Tsarasa potter. Now Rashi is very important. You'll see why in a minute. See Rashi, Minani Mili. The Tsaras Tsara Petura. How do you know it's Sara? Sara is Pater. Rav Yehuda, Damakra Litzvar. Ataritsa Tsar is Harmon. Rav Yehuda says, Gzeres HaKasif. Litzvar, could have said Latzor, it says Litzvar. It's Marba many Tsars. Ravashi Amar Svarahu, Svarahi. Ravashi says it's a Svara. What's a Svara? Sara Maitama Asira. Why in the first marriage is the tzara aser the b'makom erva kaima? Because she's standing together with an erva. She's married to this man together with an erva. Tzara sara nami b'makom erva kaima. The easy way out is to say that Rabbi Kivager's svara is Ravashi. It's a Gemara. Rabbi Kivager missed the Gemara, you'll ask me. I'll explain Rabbi Akiva Eiger in a minute. But the easy way out, and it's true, like Rashi Shita, Rashi learns that Rav Ashi is saying the svara of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Just Rabbi Akiva Eiger is an achrayim, so it takes him a lot of words to say it. And Rav Ashi is an amayra, he says it in very short words. Look at the words. Rav Ashi amas svarahi. Tzara Tzara is a svara. Tzara maitam asira. Why is the Tzara also in the first time? Dibamakim erva kaimi, because she's together with a daughter. Tzara Tzara nami bamakim erva kaimi. Tzara Tzara is also together with a tzara, with an erva. The first Tzara is an erva. What are you going to ask? Sarah, no, but in the first Nefila, why was the Tzara Aser? The first time when the Reuven died and left a Bas and a Tzara. Why don't we say that Tzara is a sister-in-law, you're allowed to be Miabim's sister-in-law? The answer is, because she was the Tzara of a Bas. Right? Normally in the first Nefila, you could marry a sister-in-law. But because she's a Tzara, B'makim Erva Kaimi, since she's together with a man, with an Erva, that's why she's us. So just like in the first Nefila, she's us because she's together with somebody. Same thing in the second Nefila. So, we could learn that Rav Ashi is Rabbi Akiva Eiger's svara. Now what are you going to ask me? First you can tell me, Rabbi. Rabbi Akiva Eiger missed the Gemara? Can't be. But first of all, he's still shveling Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda learns it from a pasuk. Why didn't he do Rav Yehuda? You could ask me that. But Rabbi Akiva Eiger is asking for another reason. Our Tosfos at Seif HaOlam. Look what Tosfos says. When Tosfos brings Daf Yud Gimel, the last of the middle-sized lines in Tosfos, unless you have one of the newfangled Gemaras that has all kinds of different lines, which says L'kamon Yud Gimel, the second time it says L'kamon Yud Gimel. Look at Tosfos. L'kamon Yud Gimel, the kabay minani mili, uloy at tzorois tzoroseim ka'amar. You have those three words? Four words? Loy at tzorois tzoroseim ka'amar. You may not have chapped. Tosfos is arguing with Rashi. Tosfos says, when it says Menani Mili, Lo Yatzara Sarasayim Ka'amar. It's not going Yatzara Sarasayim. That's not like Rashi. Rashi Menani Mili, the Tzara Sarasa Ptura. Rashi said, how do you know Tzara Sar? Tosfos says the opposite of Rashi. I don't know why he doesn't bring Rashi. Usually Tosfos brings Rashi and he argues. Here, Tosfos on that base, I guess he thinks you're not looking up Daf Yud Gimel, you'll never notice. Tosfos says, Pshat is, Minani Mili doesn't go on Tzara Tzara. Why not? Why not, so Tosfos? Layatar is Ka'omar. The Behed Yadarashu, Braisim Alitzrar. That you learn from Litzrar. Ela, Allah Tzayf Kaloil, Afilay Meya. It's going on something else, Afilay Meya. Tosfos learns that Tzaris Tzara Seyem does need a pasuk. Tosfos is not like Rashi. Tosfos al tzara sar seim needs a pasuk. A svara comes after lehenayah. Once you al tzara tzara tzara, after lehenayah is a svara. Good. But tzara sar seim like Tosfos does need a pasuk. If so, Rabbi Akiva Eiger is asking a good kasha. Rabbi Akiva Eiger is asking, why does tzara sar seim need a pasuk? Why does it need a pasuk? I have a svara. So that Rabbi Akiva Eiger is a kasha. Like Rav Ashi, the way Rashi learned Rav Ashi, we can learn that it is Rav Ashi Shita. We can learn that way. Into Rav Ashi, it fits beautifully. However, it doesn't fit with Rabbi Yehuda on Daf Yud Gimel. Also, it doesn't stem with Tosfos Bechlal, because Tosfos holds Tzaras Arseim needs a pasuk. So it doesn't fit Bechlal with Tosfos. So that Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha we still have to deal with. we have to come to more complicated terutzim, which we'll get to. But at least, like Rashi, it could be that that's pshat in Rav Ashi on Daf Yud Gimel. I have to tell you, one of my sons told me that his Rebbe told him that saying Rabbi Kiva Eger is pshat in Rav Ashi is a Yetzer Hara. It's only Yetzer Hara. You want to have an easy teretz, you say it's Rav Ashi. Could it be that Rabbi Kiva Eger asked the Kasha and didn't even say that Loi Rashi it fits into the Gemara? How could it be a Beferish of Gemara? He brings Rashi on that Chesam and Beis. He says it's a Rashi of Chesam. Why doesn't he say that it's Rav Ashi? Why doesn't he say what I told you? So he told me his Rebbe said it's the Yetzer Hara talking. The Yetzer Hara is telling you, learn that that's Pshat Rav Ashi, and it's easy. So what should I tell you? I have a Yetzer Hara. My Yetzer Hara is to learn things as smooth as they go. I like things that are smooth. I like it to be glatt. So I have a choice. Either the Gemara is smooth, and I don't know why Rabbi Kiva Eger didn't say it, or else Rabbi Kiva Eger is smooth, and I have to figure out a different Pshat in the Gemara. So I have a Yetzer Hara to say the Gemara is smooth. It's very geschmack. It's beautiful. And okay, we have to deal with Rabbi Kiva Eger. What should I tell you? But if you want to start up with what I'm saying, start up if you understand what I'm saying. Because we're going to come back to Rabbi Kiva Eger tomorrow. I'm going to try to deal, I'm trying to find a teretz to Rabbi Kiva Eger that's expressed as clearly as I could find it. The truth is, you're going to have a problem because when the Achrayim talk, they talk as if you already learned the whole parak. We refer to Gemaras as if you know them. So it's a little hard. The Reb Nachum in Ois Dalid, I think it was Ois Dalid, deals with Rabbi Kiva Eger and brings the teretz that I want to talk about. Reb Shloim and Siman Aleph has the same teretz. In both of them, you have to be a little selective. When they refer to other Gemaras, you have to be able to skim it and go past it in order to understand their basic teretz. But there are a number of terutzim to Rabbi Kiva Eger. I'm not going to confuse everyone with all the terutzim. There's one teretz which is in a number of places, including Reb Nachum and Reb Shloima, and that we're going to deal with in Yisrael Hashem tomorrow. Before you get here, make sure you have clear the expressions of Tzaris and Tzaris. Rabbi Kiva Eger, if you don't tumble about it and talk about it with the Chavrusa, it's going to be very hard to follow when we come to Yisrael Hashem tomorrow.